What do you call a pig who tells jokes? A shtick in the mud.
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Your show was better when you had medical questions.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve, and this is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you've got a question, you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider. If you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine and at DrScottWM. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on the show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, practical nurse, physician assistant, pharmacist, social worker, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, or whatever. Please do not forget stuff.drsteve.com. That's stuff.drsteve.com for all of your shopping needs. And can we not forget that your old pal Dr. Steve is on Cameo? I will say fluid. I will say secretions. I'll say, you know, what you talking about, Willis, whatever you want me to say, for next to nothing. And it's just fun for me to do. I always try to throw something a little bit extra in there. Check it out at cameo.com/weirdmedicine. And on top of that, don't worry about sending me direct messages because they say it's 99 cents. That's stupid. I will turn, if you pay to have me do a cameo for you, you can message me forever for free. Check out tweakedaudio.com for the best earbuds for the price on the market and the best customer service anywhere. Use offer code FLUID, F-L-U-I-D, for 33% off. And if you want to lose weight with me, go to Noom, N-O-O-M, .drsteve.com. And it's not a diet. It's a psychology program. It's an app that you download. And every day you check in with your advisor. And you also log your food. But there's no points, none of that stupid crap. And it's only 3 months long. And if you decide to continue after your free 2 weeks, you get 20% off. So that's Noom.drsteve.com. And if you really want to, if you know someone who has back pain, and you just felt like, God, if I could just hang upside down, it would take the pressure off my back. Check out the inversion table that I bought for myself that I use twice a day. It's called Teeter, which apparently that's the person's name. It looks like a teeter-totter, but that's their name. It's Teeter. And, well, you got some pretty good teeters there. Well, anyway, check out backpain.drsteve.com. That's backpain.drsteve.com. And now let's welcome our guests. We have Ricky B., who is a musician who I've actually followed locally for many years. And I took lessons from his erstwhile partner, bass partner. I took bass lessons from him.
You did.
And we have his lady, who, his name is Vicky. I said, what name do you want to go by in the radio? She said, oh, you could just call me Vicky-licious. And it's like, okay, fair enough. That's some radio name you got there, Vicky-licious.
That's what everybody calls me.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except me.
I know. Oh, well, okay, then you get one of these, my friend. Uh-oh. Oh, whoops, wrong one. If you want to get anywhere with her, you better call her Vicky-licious.
Oh, so I have
at least make her feel that way.
We won't
right,
go
Vicky?
Into that. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Well, listen. So we're gonna play a little music later, Rick had some medical questions. Vicky may have one or two. And then we've got a guy from, I believe, from Croatia sent me a bunch of stuff. And then we've got another guy that just sent me kind of like an experiment. And I don't know if he's effing with me or not. I have not listened to these questions. So this may be a complete cluster F.
Is this the...
I don't know.
Experiment?
Yeah, that's the experiment. He sent me 8 questions, and I haven't listened to them. So he may be just setting me up. I mean, if he asks me the square root of pi, I can ask, you know, Echo, what's the square root of pi?
The square root of pi is approximately 1.7725.
Exactly right.
Give yourself a bill!
Thank you, Echo. See, I just want to make sure that she knew. So we'll do that. If we have time. But, yeah, so, Rick, tell me about being a musician in the age of COVID. Fucking, I mean, sucks, right?
Well, absolutely. Nobody gets to go out to venues. It really sucks for the musicians, but also, you know, the fans, too. As far as I got to stay home and write some, but, you know... Now the venues are starting to open up, but during COVID, it really sucked, man.
People are going bonkers now, and I don't blame them. I mean, we went a year and 3 months completely locked down in some places. I was at a medical school graduation today, and I got an award, of course. Thank you very much. I can give myself one of these.
Give yourself a bill!
And
oh,
damn it! God damn it! Stop that!
I witnessed that.
But they were all just thrilled that they could be in the same room together and not be wearing masks and stuff. And it was like, ooh, this is really something. It's like 3 years ago, we would have thought it was a really crappy graduation ceremony, but in post-COVID, it was the most awesome thing I've ever been to. It was at this woman's or grandmother's farm, and it was just outside, and they had food, and we had a buffet. How scary! And it was really just delightful to be amongst people again.
Oh, I'm sure. I think being
get closer to the mic, Vicky.
Being homebound, I think that if you listen to lots of local or famous artists, you'll hear them say it provided them an opportunity to get closer with their family, closer with their feelings, closer with themselves, period, which allowed them to write, be more creative, take their time, not a deadline.
Yeah, I understand that, but what I'm not looking forward to is I wrote this during COVID, man, and then hearing about everybody's troubles during COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, enough. Mm-hmm. Move on.
Exactly.
In my opinion.
Right.
So that part I'm not looking forward to is all the COVID-based films and stuff that are going to come out with everybody in lockdown. It's like, no, we're out of lockdown. We're in the theater watching this. Show us, you know, superheroes or something, in my opinion. That's just me.
You know, like Dr. Steve.
What about us?
Medical social workers. We're heroes.
Yeah. Oh, where are we?
We are.
You know, I never kind of bought into that because we were just stuck doing this.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think a hero is someone that runs into the fire. I tell my kids, not being scared doesn't make you courageous. It's being scared and doing it anyway mm-hmm. that makes you courageous. We didn't have a choice. I mean, it was just, this is our job.
Right.
So I'm not 100, you know, I'd see, and there were, at one of the local hospitals, they put, heroes live here, and they spell it H-E-R-O-S. And I'm like, oh boy, that's a way to beat the stereotype of being in Appalachia and spelling something wrong on a big sign you put outside your hospital. But anyway.
Well, at least it didn't say hoes live here.
No, that's true. That's true. Anyway. So, but are you getting out and playing a little bit now? Or getting ready to anyway?
Well, I'm actually putting some stuff together and getting. I've been spending more time writing. And as you well know, I've been through some traumatic things. And getting back to music has always been my saving grace.
Yeah.
You know, outside of you know, my wife being my strongest supporter, it always feels good to go out and do a few songs and get a crowd response to something you've created.
Yeah.
And
true musicians, I think, just have to do it. It's not a choice. You know, you have to do it. It's you want to play. I know a mountain music player, and she goes out and plays. She's not a huge fan of the mountain music so much, but she says, I get, you know, I'm in demand, and they, you know, I get to play. So yeah. She does it. And, you know, it's like you. See, I'm not a real musician. All through COVID, I didn't touch my keyboards, not one time. I was so damn bummed about the whole thing. But you, on the other hand, are a true musician. Your response to being holed up was to play more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just a dilettante.
It was, and plus I got to do some rearranging in my flower beds and stuff like that. So, you know, but as far as music goes, like I said, it's just it's always been an outlet.
Yeah,
and
And you sound like the guy that does those timeshare commercials. Have you heard him?
Well, if you got stuck in a timeshare, we can help you.
You kind of sound, I mean, people who aren't from around here, because this is heard all over the country, will love your voice. There's no question about that.
Well, I'm just as country as could be.
But you don't play country music. That's the interesting thing. Although the song that we're playing now, today, could be seen as a country song. It certainly has all the elements of a country song. And I think in modern country could actually hit the charts, which is the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, is this song you're going to sing. We'll have a lot of people listen to it. People are going to enjoy it, and I think a lot of people are going to wonder, how in the hell do you break into this business? You know, I've had you on the show. I've had Dave Cecil on the show, which for sort of coffee shop type singer-songwriter stuff, mm-hmm. There's nobody better than he is, and yet nobody's ever heard of the fucking guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, well, how do you make it in this business? Well, I'm asking you. Hell, you don't know.
Well, from what I understand, it's perseverance.
Yeah. It's a lot of luck, though.
I've been told.
And knowing someone, knowing people.
It's a lot of luck, though, too, isn't it? Yeah, just being heard by the right people.
Well, yeah. And
people that believe in what he's doing.
Yeah.
People that believe in his talent.
I believe in it.
Yeah.
But what good has that done you?
Yeah.
You know, same thing with Dave Cecil. I was talking to him the other day. I was trying to put him together with a woman that could sing duets with him, and it'll be beautiful. And he said, yeah, but dude, you always have these great ideas. And I'm like, yeah, but nothing ever happens with it. It's just we throw all this shit against the wall, and literally none of it sticks. It's like we're throwing it against a Teflon wall.
Well,
it's fun, though.
When I was growing up learning to do music and stuff, it didn't seem like everybody was playing.
Yeah.
With the access they have of YouTube and all the digital sites and everything, they don't have to pick up a needle, start the song over, you know?
Yeah.
They can just punch a button, and some guy will teach them how to do it. And
You are literally competing against everyone in the world.
Yep.
Because everyone can make some sort of music these days with some of this electronic stuff particularly.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, when you get back to the basics of writing a song, like when I do it, it's lyric and a guitar. And how I know that it's a good song, that it's catchy, my wife steals it and starts singing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It does. And I mean, she'll go through the house singing something that I've played just like.
That's got to be awesome. I've never had that experience.
Well, just like No Ordinary Love, it's stuck in your head.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a song that Rick and I have been recording, and I couldn't get that effing song out of my head. At one point, I'm like, this sucks because I can't hear anything else in my head but that song. Now, that's a testament to what a great song it is. But, yeah, it's freaking irritating when you get something. Every once in a while, I have a a speaker in my shower so mm-hmm. I can listen to podcasts when I'm, you know, taking a shower, because I must be constantly entertained. And when I turn it off, it goes doot, 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 and it's the first three notes of the Get Smart theme. And then for the rest of the morning, I hear doot, 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 in my head all day long until no, this ain't no ordinary love gets in my head.
Right.
So, but I've really enjoyed working with you, and that's why I wanted to have you on the show. But anyway, let's talk about something that has something remotely to do with this show. You had a couple of medical questions.
Yeah.
And you had a friend that had a thing and another thing, another thing. So let's talk about those.
Well, I had called my buddy. And I hadn't talked to him in a long time. He was a I worked with him when he was a physical therapist. And I called him and actually was just going to get a reference from him for, you know, maybe in another case, and found out that he had almost died. And while he was in the hospital, they found, and he couldn't remember, he couldn't tell me what it was that about killed him.
Yeah.
But he actually called me back and said, I meant to tell you I have dementia, which floored me, because he was brilliant. And I admired this guy a lot. He was great.
Are they sure he had dementia? Or I mean, was he in the ICU when he was in the hospital?
Well, he said he almost died, but he didn't tell me.
He couldn't remember where.
A lot of people that have been in the ICU can't remember.
Yeah.
And that has to do with some of the medications that they use. And, you know, there are people that get ICU psychosis. Mm-hmm. They're taken out of their normal environment, and they're sick as hell. And they get delirium, and that can mimic dementia, and it can persist for quite some time, and then those people kind of resolve. And, you know, the course of dementia is that if it's Alzheimer's, for example, it'll get worse slowly. You know, the first thing that they'll notice is they can't name things. Like they'll say, you say, what is this? And they'll say, well, that's a wrist, or no, that's a thing that tells time, instead of calling it a wristwatch. Or if you hold up a pencil, they'll say that's a thing that you write with. That's kind of the first sign. I had a professor in medical school. I had an IQ of like 220. I've told this story before, but you all haven't heard it. And he was one of the smartest, he was the smartest person I've ever met in my life. Very eccentric, as all those folks with IQ of 220 are. And when he started getting dementia, he would say the crazy stuff. Like he couldn't say deck of cards. He would call it a concentric stack of thin laminates.
What?
Now, that's a person with dementia, early dementia, stage one dementia, where they're having trouble naming things, that has an IQ of 220.
Wow.
You know?
Well, see, that was my question, because he was going out. They're not letting him drive.
Talk more into the mic, if you would.
They're not letting him drive, but he's able to go out and hit a golf ball.
Sure.
Play golf.
Sure. Yeah, it doesn't happen all at once.
And I was just wondering also if this is going to lead to Alzheimer's. And his excuse, I think, was that it was work, 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 work. And then all of a sudden he collapsed. And
now there's something else going on. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have vascular dementia, these are people that have constant mini strokes that are
TIAs.
Well, they can be, but sometimes they don't notice them. But what they do, what happens is they decline in a stepwise fashion. They'll be okay, and then all of a sudden they're worse. And then they'll stay worse for a while, and then all of a sudden they get even worse. But it's always in a stepwise fashion. It's not a gradual decline like you see in Alzheimer's. Now, one thing that you could do, you have a partner here that's in the medical field, and you're in the medical, or were previously in the medical field. You could do a mini mental status exam on this friend of yours if he'll consent to you doing it. If he's cool with you, sort of, and then you write down what the number is, and then you do it 2 weeks later, and if the number's going up, that's unlikely to be dementia. It's more likely to be some cognitive thing from the medications they gave him. If it's going down, that increases the odds that it's dementia. Now, am I recommending that you do this? Not necessarily. It just depends on how close you are. And if he's avoiding going to the doctor, you could do that for him. But you could look up mini mental status exam online. It's an easy thing to do.
Well, I was trying to think, you know, because today's hospitalizations are not long stays at all.
No, that's right. That's
and right. He was in there off and on for months.
Really? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he was on propofol and or, you know, Versed and or IV fentanyl on the ventilator in the hospital for months, they can have cognitive decline that lasts for about as long as they were in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
It can last for months.
Yeah, and the thing is, we don't know how long he was in the hospital.
Yeah.
He's not a good historian.
Is he local?
No, he's in Memphis now.
He's in Memphis now.
I was gonna say he could come to me and I could find out, but
well, if I encourage everybody to be diligent friends, because things change and shit happens and
yeah. That's a good medical term. Shit happens.
Well,
it's really true.
But it happens out of the blue.
Yep.
And
yeah, we get hit by a meteor sitting here talking about it. I say that to my patients all the time.
You just watch Deep. You watch Deep Impact, didn't you?
No, I've never seen that asshole movie. Well, if he does have Alzheimer's disease. Biogen announced that they were scrapping two phase three trials of the investigational anti-amyloid agent, aducanumab. Sorry, it's a monoclonal antibody for Alzheimer's disease. And they did. What happened was during their studies, they did a thing called a futility analysis, and it showed there was no way that they could come to statistical significance to show that this stuff actually worked. But they reanalyzed the data, and the drug is back on the table. And they did this thing. It was called the EMERGE trial. And what this is this is a monoclonal antibody that is supposed to reduce clinical decline in Alzheimer's, and it also removes this substance called beta amyloid from the brain, which is felt to be associated with Alzheimer's disease. So we may be getting to a point where Alzheimer's may be something that we can actually treat and reverse, which would be awesome, because I hate Alzheimer's dementia worse than I hate cancer. At least with cancer, the vast majority of people are themselves
right
till they leave this world.
Mm-hmm.
When you have dementia, it robs the person of their quality of life, because they don't know who they are anymore. So you can't, if you don't know who you are, you can't have much quality of life. But it really robs the people around you mm-hmm. of your presence, because it shatters the personality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you've ever met demented people, I mean, sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're sad, sometimes they're just, you know, curled up in a ball making noise. But you talk to their family and they say, yeah, they used to garden. You know, this person was a college professor, you know, stuff like that. And every time I can't find my keys, I'm like, oh, here we go. You know?
Yeah.
But so if we could reverse it, right now we have medications for it, but they all work on acetylcholine. One works on the N-methyl D-aspartate receptor, that's Namenda. But none of them are very satisfying.
Mm-mm.
You know, we get people in hospice and they're like, well, should we continue this medicine? It's like, well, if it did what you wanted it to do, they wouldn't need to go into hospice at this point. So it's okay to stop them at that point. But if we could get a disease-modifying drug, not unlike biologicals for rheumatoid arthritis. You know, back in the day, we had gold. That was the only disease-modifying drug. Everything else made people feel better, but they still got the gnarly hands and ended up in a wheelchair if things got really bad. But then we got the biologicals, and like my mother-in-law, hell, she's on one of them, Humira or one of those,
mm-hmm.
and you'd never know she had anything,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so we have these disease-modifying drugs. Same thing with HIV. Used to be we had the only medications we had for HIV were things to treat the infections that they got, but eventually they would die. Mm-hmm. And in the early days, in the 80s when I was training, if someone came in, well, they didn't come in with HIV because we didn't know what the cause was. They came in with AIDS, and it was a terminal illness 100% of the time. Now we have these disease-modifying antiretroviral cocktails that take the viral load in most people down to zero, and they can have normal lives and normal lifespans as long as they stay on their medicine. And it may be that some of them can actually come off the medicine. So if we had that in Alzheimer's, that would be huge. But, you know.
Yeah. So why do we not?
Because, number one, we don't know how consciousness even exists. We don't know what it is. So if we don't know what it is, how the hell can we fix it when it doesn't work right? You know, if you ever think about it, most people don't think about it. How is it that you're self-aware?
Mm-hmm.
What makes you self-aware? Why can't we program a computer to be self-aware? What is it about us? And some people say, well, it's the soul or whatever. Okay, that's not a satisfying answer to a scientist.
Right.
If that's what it is, well, hell, you know, that'll be evidence that we're being stupid if we're not believers, you know. But short of that, it's, you know, it's some recursive thing. You know, it's recursion where things are looking at it, you know, there's loops in the brain that refer to themselves, and when you do that enough times with enough complexity, then you get this emergent behavior, which we call self-awareness. But who knows? I mean, my thing, and this I didn't make this up, but our consciousness is the way that the universe regards itself. That's what we're here for, because we are born out of the universe. We're not separate from it. We feel like we are sacks of meat separate from the earth that we walk on, but we grew out of this world. We weren't plopped into it. And because we grew out of this world, that every single atom in our body, you can tell we've been drinking. We have not, I promise, we have not been doing anything other than that. But that I know it sounds like that, doesn't it? But every single atom in our body, it came from the center of a star. Every single atom. Because the Big Bang, all it made was hydrogen, a little bit of helium, and maybe some lithium, some antimatter and some matter, and those two things annihilated and left enough matter to make what we see in the universe. And then the heavy elements like iron that makes up makes the hemoglobin in our blood work and the calcium in our bones, all was forged in the center of a star that then went supernova, seeded our solar system, and when it coalesced, the Earth had all those heavy metals, including uranium and things like that.
Really?
Well, you've never had this concept before? It's amazing. Every single atom in your body, just think about it.
Well, I know. That's why our bodies react to certain things.
Hmm.
You know?
Okay.
To,
do you believe in intricate design? I mean, you know, the way the human body is designed, I mean, if you look at just the central nervous system,
yep,
and the design of it, yeah, and you know, every species,
yeah,
and so
you're saying that's evidence of a creator? Is that what you're going
for? I'm saying that's evidence of a creator, but every lab experiment has to have a catalyst to set it off, and I look at it as God was doing a lab experiment, and he had to. That was the Big Bang. He had to have a catalyst. Yeah.
So if I'm going to invoke the Creator in this at all, and we'll get off this side. I was thinking of this going, but the fact that every single thing in this universe boils down to four fundamental forces, and at one time they were all one force. Okay, there was this super force. That then, at the moment of the Big Bang, that there was the one single force, and then it precipitated as the universe cooled into four forces: strong, weak, electromagnetic, and gravity. That's all there is. It's just those. Now, if, and now this is going to sound like pot talk, religious pot talk, but if God is all-knowing and all-powerful and all-good, right, mm-hmm. then it follows that he or she, whatever, it, well, you know, there's probably not a word for what the creator is, would also be omni-efficient. So omniscient, omnipotent, omnibenevolent, and omni-efficient, which means if you are perfectly efficient, then you would have a single force and you would go whoop, and that would do all of this, you know, and all of this comes from that. Now, the thing that blows my mind, and we got to do some medical questions, is that after all this time of us looking, still no evidence that there's anyone else in this universe other than us. So if this universe is truly ours for the taking, we are stupid as shit to be worried about the things that we worry about. And the fact that this universe is all ours and we're not putting all of our efforts into getting off of here and going to different places and you know, taking ownership of this universe so that we, our species can't be wiped out by one extinction event on this planet is nuts. And the fact that people get all mad because they didn't give me hot sauce at Taco Bell. I asked for hot sauce. They gave me mild. Drives me absolutely bonkers when you look at the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. You know,
right. Anyway,
there you go. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox.
Woohoo!
All right, so there may be something for
that
your
was
friend.
Deep.
Well, that's what she said.
I hope there is something for him.
Yeah, I do too. Well, it'd be interesting to know if he really has dementia. He may not.
He may not.
If he didn't have any signs of it before all of this, it doesn't make sense that he all of a sudden collapses and now he's got dementia. It's much more likely that he had delirium and he's still got some cognitive deficits. And that may reverse.
Well, I hope so.
He needs to see a neurologist. He needs to see his primary care frequently. They need to do serial mini mental status exams and other neurologic tests for cognition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sure he is.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm sure he is because he's with family that.
Okay,
know.
Okay, good. Okay, well, I hope so. All right. Well, are you ready to get into the. And we got to keep an eye on the time, too. You know what? Let's just. I'm going to do one of these questions, and then we've got to sing our song because we're 30 minutes in. We've only got 50 minutes total. So,
okay.
So I'm going to do the first one of these. This. Whatever this is, this challenge from this guy, okay?
All right. Hey, Dr. Steve, it's Frank Indo. How are you?
Hey, man. Good, man. How are
good.
You?
Good. Glad to hear it. I'm doing good. Thanks.
Okay, good.
Dr. Scott, hope you're doing well.
Well,
so
thank you.
My next question's about boner pills.
Okay. Mm.
I was just curious. Ever since I started working from home, I never quite know when my wife is going to allow me to be frisky.
Ah.
So what I've gotten in the habit of doing is taking a third of a boner pill
every
each
day.
Morning.
Yep.
And sometimes it's used and sometimes it's not.
Understood.
Is there an issue with doing that? Like,
nope. Matter of fact, they make a pill called Cialis Daily. And Cialis Daily, instead of taking 20 milligrams on Friday and it works all weekend long, you take a pill every day so that you can stretch your stuff whenever you want to.
Stretch your stuff.
And... Okay, Rick wants me to write him a prescription.
No, Vicky wants you to write Rick a prescription. Okay.
Well, all right.
That says a lot, don't it?
Well, we'll talk about that after. Yeah. I mean, if we need to talk about that, we can talk about it. But you can take Cialis Daily, and it's 5 milligrams. You take it every day. And they also will prescribe it for people who have prostate problems because it's actually a pretty decent... prostate medication. You know, people have trouble urinating because of their prostate. That's a way that you can get your insurance company to pay for it. Because I tried to get the Cialis Daily because that's just fun walking around with a big old, you know, something that the cat can't scratch, you know. It's fun to walk around with that. So I wanted to get it and take it every day. And the insurance company was like, oh, hell no.
Oh, really?
But they'll pay for 20 milligrams. They'll pay for five a month. of the 20 milligrams. So you cut them in half or into quarters, and it's the same damn thing. I don't know what their issue is. They just don't want you to have fun every day.
I know.
You know, these damn insurance companies. But but yeah, so that's totally fine. I would do that. Just inform your primary care that your prescriber that you're doing that, so they'll be aware. That's all. All right. Okay, very good. Do we need to talk, you guys? Do we need to discuss what's going on, or do you just, you know, want me to blow over that and say, "Oh, he was just kidding," and then we'll, you know, I'll write your prescription later.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, you know, due to heart problems, you know, and heart medications.
Cool. Some people with heart medications can't take that stuff.
That's what I'm saying. And metoprolol.
He's one of them.
And Losartan.
Those are okay.
And...
Do you take nitroglycerin?
I do.
Oh, that's you're out of the game for Cialis and Viagra and stuff.
They put me on ice.
Yeah, isosorbide.
Isosorbide. Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot take one. It'll kill you. And because they were first developed as blood pressure medications. Mm-hmm. And what they found was in the presence of nitrates, they really work. And so they'll drop your blood pressure to the point where the heart can't perfuse and it can precipitate a heart attack. So, you know, other bad things that come with low blood pressure. So no, you can't have that. Now, there are things you can have. You could do alprostadil. No problem with that.
What's that?
Alprostadil. He's this guy that works downtown.
He'll
give you a little rub and tuck. No, alprostadil is a medication that you inject it into the base of your penis.
Oh, yeah. We've tried that.
Have you?
Yeah. Yes.
And it didn't work?
Nope.
Okay. Then there are the alprostadil syringe or suppositories where you take a pellet of that stuff and you shove it down your urethral meatus, a.k.a. the, you know, cock hole. And sometimes that'll work, particularly if you're tentative about injecting the base. Now, the third thing is...
The shot didn't bother me at all.
Yeah, it just didn't work.
Mm-mm.
Did you get anything? You get half?
I did.
Yeah, and half, it didn't do you any good.
But I also had a reaction to it one night and about fell out.
Okay.
I mean, I had a reaction so bad... Thinking about taking me, I broke out in sweats.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that then. Have you tried, so you don't want to do the suppositories either. That's called the Muse system. Have you ever tried the penis pump?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah. Yes.
Did you? I bet you didn't do it right.
Yes, we did.
But there's no way it can't work. It has to work.
No, it doesn't.
It's physics. If you do it right, it has to work. Because if you think about it, you're putting a negative pressure around the schlong itself, and if it's sealed properly, blood will flow into there. And then on the end of that thing, there's a cock ring. And so when you get a nice big purple giant meaty erection, you slip that cock ring off of the end to keep it that way. Now, if you're looking at me like, what the hell is he talking about? If you didn't do it that way, then you didn't do it right.
That didn't happen.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you show us how to do it?
Yes, I can. I would be happy to.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, let's play this damn song before Vicky gets me in trouble here.
See, Joe used to tell me that, people would say we play for exposure. People have died from exposure.
I'm just going to give you lots of reverb. All right, you ready? This is a song that I first heard at Rick's house, and I said, oh my gosh, I think I could probably actually play that one with you. Some of his songs are too hard for me to play, but this one I can play. And it's called She Remembers.
One, two, three.
She recalls the day she put that bottle down. Yes, there was a time there was not a soul around. She remembers her darkest moments, all the tears that she cried. She tried to lock it all away deep inside. She remembers. She remembers. Dark road, about to lose her way, when she saw a light shining through the night, guiding her to better days. Oh, oh, she remembers. She remembers. Smoked a last cigarette at least 100 times, and she swears she don't know how she made it through 99. She has scars you'll never see that will never heal. She tried to lock it all away, close the deal. She remembers. She remembers. She was headed down a dark road to lose her way, when she saw a light shining through the night, guiding her to better days. Oh, oh, she remembers. She
Nice.
Who dat?
I did notice at one point we were clipping a little bit, so we'll go back and listen to it if we have to. We'll just record that part.
Sure.
I like playing that. I'm going to do it again.
I do too.
It's awesome. Excellent. So I'm assuming that's about your mom.
My mom.
Oh, your mom.
My mother, yes.
He wrote a song about your mom.
Well, he wrote this song, and then
And then you went, oh, that's my mom.
No, I, sort of. I interjected with some thoughts, and
who came up with the line? She quit her, or what is it? She quit her last cigarette.
Smoked her last cigarette.
At least 99 times.
At least 100 times.
At least 100 times. Yeah. That's a great damn line, right?
I know,
there. Because anybody who ever smoked,
mm-hmm.
you used to smoke, right?
I still do.
Oh, you do? Oh no.
I know.
I didn't know that. Okay, I knew you used to.
That's the thing about Ricky B. He is a lyricist. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a great line.
Yeah, he's got a lot
and
of.
What's
great
the second?
Lines.
So it's she smoked her last cigarette mm-hmm. at least 100 times.
Mm-hmm. She recalls the day she laid that bottle down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's the one after the cigarette though?
She smoked her last cigarette at least.
Oh, she does. She swears she doesn't know how she got through 99.
Okay, yeah.
But see, right, that line
doesn't really it doesn't really go with smoked her last cigarette.
Yeah.
99 is speaking of the year 99 and all the things that she went through in 99.
Oh, so well, that's something only you guys would know when you sing it.
Actually, the first line and she's
the microphone.
The first line that actually That line came up.
Did you smoke weed before this?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
I'm smoking weed now, but you know,
you're blowing smoke now, yeah. But you're not smoking weed.
But the line was, and she swears she don't know how. She didn't drown in all the wine.
Yeah,
that was his original line. Yeah.
Oh,
and
okay.
then. I changed it.
Yeah.
And I think
so that's a cool thing. I think a lot of songwriters do that mm-hmm. they'll put stuff that means something to them, and there's no way that the person listening to it mm-hmm. would have a clue what they're doing, but they assign their own meaning to it.
Right. And when you write a song, you want it to not only relate to something personal, but you want it to relate to something personal
universal.
For everyone. Yes.
Yeah.
Universally.
Yeah.
And so 99 doesn't mean actually literally 1999. It means
anybody's
just
99.
A very challenging, yes, yeah. anybody's 1999.
Yeah. The next bunch of songs will be about 2020, but yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks so bad.
Well, you know, I wrote a song that did follow, called Etched in Time. You can find it on my YouTube site.
Oh, yeah. Let's plug your YouTube.
The Arcadia Project.
The Arcadia Project.
Yes. Yeah,
I'm going to look at it right now. Go ahead mm-hmm. and talk.
And I wrote this song from called Etched in Time, and it chronologically went from 69 to 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to talk about heroes. There's a subject.
Oh, shit. What the hell is this? You got a... accordion player? This isn't you.
No, that's not me.
A different Arcadia Project. Oh, no, there's more than one.
The Arcadia Project. It's...
Yeah, that's what that is, too. Okay, on YouTube. Uh-oh.
There you go. That's it.
This one?
Yes,
okay,
that's
so
it.
So it's the top one. So there's another one called the Arcadia Project, and they play, looks like maybe Zydeco music
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, they're weird.
Yeah. Oh, good. I mean, oh, yeah, here we go. Now, am I going to get a damn copyright strike for playing this? Yes,
no.
I am. Oh, God, it's on CD Baby. Okay, because
yeah.
the last time I played something of somebody's that was on CD Baby, we got a copyright strike. So.
Well,
oh,
but,
wow.
but
yeah.
I own it.
It doesn't matter, dude. The guy who I played was named Steve Tucci from the Tucci Band, their album Olivia, by the way. And he is my niece's boyfriend. And when you talk to him, you think you're talking to Christopher Walken, by the way. It's the craziest thing in the world. I was talking to this guy. I immediately liked him. And I was like, why do I like this guy so much? It's like, well, because I'm talking to Christopher Walken. You know, anyway, so I had permission to play his, too, and we got a copyright strike. because it was on CD. CD Baby is a pain in the butt. And he even emailed them and said, hey, you know, I'm telling you that's okay, but I still don't have the copyright strike, you know, off of my YouTube thing. So anyway, what are you going to do?
Well, the other one.
So I can't play any of this.
Well,
but
you,
just,
you can play the Etched in Time video because.
Google Tattoos and Scars.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Arcadia Project. Tattoos and Scars.
Which one of you has the tattoo and which one has the scars? That's what
tattoos, scars.
Emotional scars?
Big
or,
time.
Or real scars?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a hot mess.
Well, you know, I
we'll take out the mess and I'd say you'd be right.
I saw that.
Sorry, Rick. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
What were you going to say? I just shut Rick completely up. All right, let's do another medical question then.
All right.
Unless you got, but so, yeah, just check that out. All right, here we go.
Hey, Dr. Steve, it's Frank Indo. How are you?
Hey, Frank. Good, man. How are you?
Good. Glad to hear it. I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Oh,
thanks.
Good.
Scotty boy.
What up?
Ever since I started TRT,
Scott's not
they
here,
told me to donate blood every 6 months to get rid of the excess hemoglobin that will build up due to the TRT. I believe I have that right. Maybe you should clarify that.
Yeah, I don't think that's absolutely necessary. I've been on testosterone replacement therapy. That's what he's talking about. And what he's concerned about is that his blood hemoglobin is going to be too high. In other words, but really it's his hematocrit. It's the number of red blood cells. And if you are on so much testosterone that you have to have blood removed every couple of months just to get your hematocrit down, which the hematocrit, by the way, is the fraction of blood that is taken up by red blood cells. So the way we used to determine it was you would put it in little blood in a little capillary tube, and then you'd spin it down in a centrifuge. And then let's say it was 10 centimeters long, this tube, you could measure how many centimeters high the red blood cell fraction was because it was dark. And let's say it was 4.5 centimeters, then your hematocrit would be 45%, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it's going up 45% of this 10-centimeter tube, and the top part is just clear serum. So if it's climbing up to 55, 60, something ain't right. It's not supposed to do that when you just bring your testosterone back to normal. Okay, so I would question that and ask why are they, insisting on that. Okay? All right.
Another hey, one. Dr. Steve, it's Frank Indo.
Hey, Frank.
Quick question about, you want me to say how you doing?
No, yeah, sure, if you want to.
Okay, yeah. How you doing?
Doing good, man. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear. Yeah, I'm doing good, too. We'll go through that whole game. Anyway.
That's not my game.
And, Dr. Scott, yeah, you're there, too. Yep.
No.
Tacy's not. We get it. Yep. All right. Anyway, question's this. Dr. Math. Mm-hmm. Every time I go to the doctor asks how many beers I drink a night.
Yep.
What am I supposed to answer? I have this distinct feeling if I answered it right, they would up it by whatever percentage. So if it's 4, say 4?
Yeah.
Or if I do say 4, do they think it's 6? Or
no.
Do they think it's 8?
Well, you know, the thing is, you got to be honest with your provider. And if your provider thinks that you're not honest and you are being honest, maybe you need a different provider. But most of the time, no, they're going to go by what you say. Now, the only time that they would think that you're lying is if you're in there drunk or if your liver enzymes are out of whack and there's no other cause for it and you're saying, well, I only have one a day. It's like my mother-in-law who, his name is Big Joe. You all don't know her. She's on, this is Big Joe. Let me play, this is Big Joe.
This is your mother-in-law?
Weird Medicine contains mature contents that may be offended to some listeners.
All right, let me write here.
What did I do wrong then? You know, y'all's house is like an oven.
Now, y'all understand what she said, right?
Yes.
Both of you understood perfectly what she said. I had to translate for so many of our listeners. So we probably have people that still, didn't hear that show where I translated it. Let's do this.
Weird Medicine contains mature contents that may be offended to some listeners.
Surely that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But,
Weird Medicine contains mature content that may be offensive to some listeners. She said offended, but okay.
What did I do wrong then? If, you know, you're...
What did I do wrong then?
Oh,
house
okay.
Is like an oven.
You know, y'all's house is like an oven. And it is. It's hotter than shit up here. And I appreciate you guys because you haven't complained about how hot it is. But I didn't want to turn the AC on if y'all were going to sing and then have all that white noise in the background, you know. But anyway. But yeah, so my mother-in-law. Why was I talking about my mother-in-law? What was the question?
I don't know. We were talking about testosterone, and all of a sudden your mother-in-law came up. Okay. Does she have, like, an overabundance of testosterone?
No. We were talking about Dr. Math. God damn it. Hang on. I'm going to have to go back and listen while I was talking about her. Hang on. Okay, wait. I remember, because Big Joe, who looks like a basketball with a bigger basketball underneath it, right, is... Or I like to say she looks like a basketball on top of a smaller, on top of a bigger basketball. I just messed it up three times. But anyway.
Or a pumpkin.
She would say, I only eat one time a day. And if you look at her, you know she's lying. But it actually is true. She starts at 7 in the morning and doesn't end until 11 o'clock at night. She really does just eat one time a day. So, Vicky, you were saying that my inversion table is just basically a sex toy, right? I wish that were true. But I, you know, you're giving me some ideas, but I'm just really trying to figure out how in the hell you would use it for that. But you and Rick are free to give it a try. Maybe that will
help. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, thanks go to, Ricky B and, Vicky Licious, his, paramour. We can't forget Rob Sprance, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, that Gould girl. Louis Johnson, Paul Ofcharsky, Chowdy 1008, Eric Nagel, the Port Charlotte Whore, Vicky. I don't know if you know her, or the Saratoga Skank. She might be a friend of yours. Roland Campos, sister of Chris, Sam Roberts, she who owns pigs and snakes, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Matt Kleinschmidt, Dale Dudley, Holly from the Gulf, Steve Tucci, the great Rob Bartlett, Vic's Nether Fluids. Vic is now engaged, so I'm taking that out of there. Carl's Deviated Septum, Bernie and Sid, Martha from Arkansas's Daughter, Ron Bennington and Fez Wally, whose support of this show has never gone unappreciated. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, on demand and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules and podcasts and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Vicky. Thanks, Rick.
You're welcome.